In March, Time Out magazine released its list of the top 100 greatest cinemas in the world right now. The Chinese theatre on Hollywood Boulevard topped the list, but Australia did pretty well, with six cinemas making the cut. Sun Pictures in Broome, the Regal Theatre in Adelaide, Melbourne's Sun and Astor Theatres, and Sydney's Golden Age Cinema and Bar all made the list. But the highest ranking Australian cinema in the Time Out Top 100 is the Hayden Orpheum Picture Palace in Sydney's North Shore, which came in at number 30. And I'm very pleased to say that joining us now on the line is the general manager of the Hayden Orpheum Picture Palace, Alex Temeshvari. Welcome to the program and congratulations, Alex.
Thanks, Julian. Thanks for having me on. And yes, appreciate that. We're absolutely thrilled to make the cut.
Yeah, top 30 in the world is pretty solid. The Orpheum's an Art Deco cinema. It first opened in 1935. Could you tell us a little bit more about its history?
We actually just celebrated the 90th birthday of the venue last year, which was really wonderful. We had a special premiere, Sydney premiere, for the final Downton Abbey movie, which seemed like a very fitting kind of classy movie for a classy establishment. But yeah, look, a beautiful, as you mentioned, Art Deco building and a lot of history. And I think, well, that's one of the reasons people connect with it so much is because when they walk through the doors, it really is like stepping back in time. And of course, people who do know the history of the venue know that Mike Walsh, ex-TV presenter Mike Walsh, was the one who actually saved the building roughly 40 years ago from being demolished.
Yeah, so what happened then? Like, what was the state of the Orpheum before Mike Walsh took over?
I've heard the stories and seen a few photos, and this was quite a rundown, terrible state it was in, and was actually on the verge of being demolished to make way for a mall or something like that, something uninspiring. And Mike, being the lover of cinema and theatre that he is, he just saw such potential in restoring the venue to its former glory, and of course put in all his own money and really just turn it into what this lavish, elegant venue it is now, and just put so much of himself into it. I think that's also one thing people connect with, is just that there's so much love put into restoring this place physically. And then combine that with the kind of programming that he was insistent that the venue did back in the day, it's now this wonderful local icon, and people know that they're coming here, they're going to get something special physically, but also the programming itself is something that's curated and very lovingly thought about as well.
Yes, Time Out waxes lyrical about the ballroom designs, the lavish velvet curtains, the colour-changing neon light, and as well the 1925 Wurlitzer pipe organ, which is one of the specialties of the Orpheum. Tell us about the Wurlitzer, and is it still in use, Alex?
It is. I mean, it doesn't get used quite as much as it used to back in the day, but it is a special treat. We have a longtime resident Wurlitzer player, Neil Jensen, who's just, one of the best in the world at playing that instrument. He still does make special appearances, usually for things like special premieres or Q&As or like really big events, or come out and entertain the audience with the Wurlitzer before the main show, which is just such a special treat. And the fact that people aren't always expecting it as well, you sort of see the look on their faces. Everyone is just really like, what is this? It really is transporting people back in time or something like that. But a hugely important part of the venue. And again, just a brilliant thing that Mike Walsh came up with and pursued. But the Wurlitzer itself, the mighty Wurlitzer, celebrated 100 years last year. So we had a little bit of a double celebration there. 90th of the building and 100 years of the Wurlitzer. And we actually had a special Phantom of the Opera screening last year where Neil Jensen got to play the score as an accompaniment to the film. And that, again, that was a very old-fashioned kind of event we used to do good 30 or so years ago to kind of bring back some of these things, which are a piece of the history of the venue, can be just so wonderful, and people really love it.
So the Hayden Orpheum's 90 years old, but the Wurlitzer is 100 years old. What was it doing for the first 10 years, Alex?
I believe it was actually playing in the Wilson Theatre in Fresno, California, back in 1925 for that first 10-year period.
Yeah, right. Well, so it's a very well-travelled Wurlitzer as well. Now, you mentioned Mike Walsh's sort of curatorial interests in terms of the programming. What was Mike Walsh going for in terms of the content at the theatre, and how's that changed over the many years that the venue's been operating now?
Mike's vision was always to provide, entertainment first and foremost, but also curate it with this mix of films. So, nothing against commercial. So, Orpheum has always run, very commercial films, but generally the best of the best that's on offer. But at the same time, he also wanted us to always be going our own way and not looking to what other people are doing. So, you know, obviously there are some really obvious choices for the kind of programming to do in a venue like this, in a geographic location like this, with the demo that the place attracts. But he always wanted us to be kind of reaching to be doing something special and quirky and different. I mean, I think one of the greatest things he did in that regard was the people he hired to run the venue. I mean, the general manager for the first 30 odd years, a guy called Paul Drabe, him and Mike together had this fantastic vision for the programming of the place. And he was very instrumental in making sure that the Orpheum was programming the most wildly eclectic and interesting programming that you could get. And of course, since I've taken over that role, I've just made sure basically not to mess it up, but to just keep going with that approach of, again, never to be looking outside. You sure, you can be inspired occasionally by someone else's programming choices, but you know, our thing is to really make it a one-stop shop for people. So, you know, there's a little bit of something for everyone. You know, there's a lot of cult programming, classic film programming, festivals, Q&As, premieres, all that kind of thing. The big blockbusters, if they're of a certain quality, of course. But then, you know, a lot of interesting art house films, foreign language films, you know, French films particularly play extremely well here. Then on top of that, you know, 70 mil film prints that, you know, are very rare to come by nowadays. And, you know, we've even got a new season of that, the new Christopher Nolan film, The Odyssey, coming up in July, which will be running exclusively on the north side in 70 millimeter. Things like that, just things that you can't go and see elsewhere. But at the same time, since COVID days, and with Mike Walsh's blessing, branching out our programming to the point where we're now doing a whole lot of live events as well. Sometimes they do have a cinema component to them, but even just, you know, things like concerts and live comedy and book launches and all these kind of things. So really giving people a chance to come here for a whole variety of things and not turning our nose up at anything. That I think that's a thing that maybe gets overlooked sometimes is, you know, it can be easy to try to run a venue based on your own personal tastes or the taste of your team, and you can kind of fall into that trap. Whereas for us, it's like, no, look, if we think our audience, our core audience, or even people that we can pull from other parts in Sydney would like to come here and see something, then who are we to say otherwise? So we'll happily program something if it's likely to put bums on seats and let people have a great night out in Cremorne.
And the bums are on very nice velvet seats at the Hayden Orpheum. On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with the general manager of the Hayden Orpheum Picture Palace, Alex Temeshvari. And the Hayden Orpheum is, according to Time Out magazine, the 30th greatest cinema in the world right now and the highest ranking of the six Australian cinemas that made the Time Out top 100. And you've alluded there, Alex, to the sort of variety of events that the Orpheum puts on. I was interested, is the Orpheum sort of able to stand on its own feet commercially just as a cinema, or is it really a labour of love for the Mike Walsh organisation?
Look, it definitely is a very viable, and in fact, I would even go as far as saying a thriving business. That's not to diminish any of the major challenges that our industry has faced over the last years. You know, some of them quite obvious challenges, some of them not so obvious, but it is a business first and foremost, and a very successful one. But having said that, a lot of effort goes into making it so. You know, I think gone are those days, probably for any cinema really, where you used to just open the doors and there you go, people are lining up around the door.
Queues would be there right away. Yeah, no, it's certainly changed. In fact, Time Out notes that cinema's patronage has been affected by obviously COVID, Hollywood writers' strikes, the rise of streaming, surging costs. But Time Out also says that younger cinema buff audiences are embracing the big screen experience like never before. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, to a certain degree, yes. I mean, we've had some really interesting insights over the last couple of years where sometimes we'll be playing an anniversary screening, for example, of a, you know, a classic film or a film that deserves to be celebrated in some notable way. And what we've noticed is oftentimes the people driving those, what can be very large attendances, are a much younger, you know, more of a cinephile kind of audience. It's not just people who remember the film from back in the day or the people who maybe listed as one of their favorite films or parents showing their kids. Sure, that stuff certainly happens. But oftentimes there's this really large younger crowd who are coming out to perhaps discover a film for the first time, you know, or see a classic film they maybe heard of, but deciding, hey, look, the first time I'm going to watch this is not going to be on my TV at home. It's going to be on a huge screen with big sound and with a packed audience of hundreds of people. So there certainly is something in that. I would agree with that. But again, the other thing is we really pivoted in how we run the venues COVID, and we've found our own little niche, you know, hit our own little groove with how we kind of make it work and get people in. And there are certainly still very, very popular films that come out. There's a few times each year where there's massive attendances for the right kind of film that people see as a must-see on the big screen. And those times are very, very welcome. But the other times, we just make sure we lean into giving people an additional reason to come by eventizing certain films, you know, opening nights or previews or premieres, and also just doing this really eclectic mix of other events and special programming that, for the most part, doesn't run elsewhere.
Now, I mentioned that five other cinemas made the top 100 list for Time Out. Alex, have you been to any of those other great cinemas that have been singled out by Time Out?
Yes, look, I've had the pleasure of being to a number of the other Australian cinemas that made the list, including the Astor in Melbourne and the Sun Theatre in Melbourne as well. And both fantastic venues, beautiful venues, great programming. I know the management of those cinemas quite well.
Is there a bit of camaraderie between the sort of old school cinemas?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we love to have a little bit of friendly competition here and there, particularly with other sites in Sydney. But at the end of the day, we are all in it together. So we love to share insights and give each other tips when we can. And ultimately, we love to see each other succeeding. So if one venue is having a huge success that another one isn't or isn't able to have for whatever reason, you know, we absolutely cheer them on. And yeah, we're all very friendly in that regard.
And it certainly sounds like Sun Pictures in Broome, which I read in Time Out is the oldest operating picture garden in the world, would be well worth a visit, subject to weather, I suppose, as well. But it's a great list and great to know that Australia typically is batting above its weight when it comes to great cinema locations and venues on the Time Out list.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real thrill to be on the list, and you know, we're honoured and we're in great company, obviously.
Alex Temeshvari, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks, Julian. Appreciate it.
And Alex is the general manager of the Hayden Orpheum Picture Palace, which came in at number 30, the top-ranking Australian cinema in Time Out's list of the 100 greatest cinemas in the world right now.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.